Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschitade Sitarane Janmastami. So, I've picked out typical Janmashtami reading, the birth of Lord Krishna, from the 10th canto. Prabhupada was still writing then, strong up to the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. Of course, he wrote the Krishna book, which covered the same topic. But I'm going to read from the birth of Lord Krishna, some verses and purports. But first I want to do a little interfaith discussion, which brings us to a point that is a transcendental point. I want to refer to the Christian middle-aged mystic. Some of you may have heard of Meister Eckhart. The Christian story of the appearance of God is a very beautiful story also. It's told in the Gospel of St. Luke. It's the only Gospel that's told in how Jesus appeared as the son of Mary and Joseph. In the manger, and the three wise men appeared, and the star appeared in the sky, and the angels appeared to the shepherds, and they came, and the birth occurred in Bethlehem, and Jesus appeared in the very humble conditions. Very sweet story, and there were great prophecies about him from the wise men. Peace, what is it that was predicted about him? I forget. But Meister Eckhart was sermonizing about this, and he said, more important than this story about that we tell every year about the appearance of God, which he took as literal history, just as we take Krishna's appearance in the prison cell of Kamsa, is the appearance of Jesus or God in your heart. Because if every year we gather and you read about Krishna appearing in the cell of Kamsa, but there's no appearance of God in your heart, then he has not really appeared. You're not really observing Janmashtami. Except superficially. So when I heard this, I was really struck by this. And we can take it in a Krishna conscious way to try to observe Janmashtami. This is the point of fasting and chanting to welcome Krishna, who appeared as a baby. Literally, of course, we'll read these accounts and worship Krishna, hear Krishna, the reasons Krishna appeared and the accounts of his coming. But also we have to examine our hearts and our attitudes towards Krishna. we believe in Krishna as our worshipful Lord? What is our faith in Krishna? And what is our how is our service to Krishna and Guru? This is the appearance that is most important. Not just the appearance 5,000 years ago, but the appearance now. In every day, but tonight we can celebrate or observe in community the appearance of Krishna in our hearts. So there's a lot going on here with that strung out over different speeches and prayers. Krishna appeared and he spoke to Devaki and to Vasudeva. And before that, there's the whole description of the marriage and the announcement from the sky to Kamsa that the eighth child of this wedding would be the cause of his death. So he carefully killed each of the children of this marriage. And now, he's awaiting the eighth child to be born. And this eighth child has just been born on the in the Janmashtami evening. And there are different reactions from his mother and father because he appears not just like a little baby, but he appears... Well, he appears both, as the cover shows. He appears as a full-sized Vishnu form first, and then at their request, he appears as a little child. We'll read about this. Why does he appear as Vishnu? No child appears in this way. This is a miraculous appearance. Translation, text 44, 10th canto, chapter 3. I have shown you this form of Vishnu just to remind you of my previous births. Otherwise, if I appeared just like an ordinary human child, you would not believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, has indeed appeared. Purport. Devaki did not need to be reminded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, had appeared as her son. She already accepted this. Nonetheless, she was anxious, thinking that if her neighbors heard that Vishnu had appeared as her son, none of them would believe it. Therefore, she wanted Lord Vishnu to transfer himself into a human child. On the other hand, the Supreme Lord was also anxious, thinking that if he appeared as an ordinary child, she would not believe that Lord Vishnu had appeared. Such are the dealings between devotees and the Lord. The Lord deals with his devotees exactly like a human being. But this does not mean that the Lord is one of the human beings. For this is the conclusion of non-devotees. Avajanati mamudha manusim tanamasritam. Devotees know the Supreme Personality of Godhead under any circumstances. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. The Lord says, manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances, and worship me. Someone was saying today, I think it was Agari, where are you? About how Krishna deals in such tantalizing ways with the devotees. I forget what the context was. But here they seem to be at odds, that she accepts Krishna, but she's anxious, thinking that if the neighbors see that Vishnu is her son, none of them would believe it. But here's Krishna on the other side thinking that if you appeared as an ordinary child, so she wants Krishna to appear as a regular child. But he's thinking, if I appear as an ordinary child, then she won't believe it. that I'm the Lord Vishnu. So they can't get it together. But they both know that he's the Lord, and she, they both have a perfect understanding, but they can't get on the same page. Engage, this is, the Lord says, Manmanabhav madbhakto madhya jimam namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee, offer obeisances and worship me. A non-devotee cannot believe that simply by thinking of one person, one can achieve liberation from this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. But this is a fact. The Lord comes as a human being, and if one becomes attached to the Lord on the platform of loving service, one's promotion to the transcendental world is assured. So he came as Vishnu just to prove that he was God. But actually, as it is described later, she says that don't stay as Vishnu because I'm afraid that Kamsa will come and he wants to kill Vishnu. So if he sees you as Vishnu, he'll try to kill you. Although she should know better that nobody can kill Vishnu, but she thinks that Kamsa probably can. He's so powerful. He will attempt to kill you, but if he sees you just as a baby. He won't think that you're the eighth child who's come to kill him as Vishnu. So please appear as a little child. And so then this picture is showing simultaneous events of him appearing as Vishnu and then appearing as a child. And there's lengthy prayers that they make to him. They're in the mood, you can't see it so closely here, but their moods are displayed here. The Devaki is appearing with some Aishwarya and some vatsalya, some mixture of awe and reverence and some mixture of sweetness toward the baby, her child who she would like to bring to her breast, give milk to, but she's too much in awe of the Lord. And Vasudev is praying to the Lord, glorifying him as Lord Vishnu. It doesn't look like he's about to embrace a little baby on his knee or smell his head. So they're not considered as great in parental affection as their real parents, Yasoda and Nanda, who will soon be being described. Both of you, husband and wife, constantly think of me as your son, but always know that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By thus thinking of me constantly with love and affection, you will achieve the highest perfection, returning home back to Godhead. Purport. This instruction by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to His Father and Mother, who are eternally connected with Him, is especially intended for persons eager to return home back to Godhead. One should never think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an ordinary human being, as non-devotees do. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared personally to and left His instructions for the benefit of all human society, but fools and rascals unfortunately think of Him as an ordinary human being. So this purport is dedicated to the Bhagavad Gita, and that everyone should accept Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita as God. Prabhupada suddenly wants to remind us that if you read the Bhagavad Gita as it is and accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord, you'll become perfect and happy. So it is to be noted that because Vasudeva and Devaki would be separated from Krishna when he was carried to Gokula, the residence of Nanda Maharaj, the Lord personally instructed them that they should always think of him as their son and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They would keep in touch with him that way. After 11 years, the Lord would return to Mathura and be their son, and therefore there was no question of separation. He was getting them ready for the separation to come, so we can be with Krishna by remembering Krishna and Bhagavad Gita and all the literatures that we have. We are in profound separation from Krishna, but we also, by constantly remembering Krishna, can be with Him. As I was saying in the beginning, see, we can have Krishna appear in our hearts. Sukadeva Goswami said, after thus instructing His father and mother, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, remained silent. In their presence, by His internal energy, He then transformed Himself into a small human child. Brackets. This is like Prabhupada putting a bit of the purport into the verse. In other words, He transformed Himself into His original form, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. I don't want to do too much extended reading. Because some of it isn't. Prabhupada is teaching broadly in the purports, not only just about the birth of Krishna. So you know what happens. Vasudeva miraculously is able to, therefore exactly when Vasudeva, being inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to take the newborn child from the delivery room, Yogamaya, the Lord's spiritual energy, took birth as the daughter of the wife of Maharaj Nanda. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discusses that Krishna appeared simultaneously as the son of Devaki and as the son of Yasoda, along with the spiritual energy Yogamaya. As the son of Devaki, He first appeared as Vishnu, and because Vasudeva was not in the position of pure affection for Krishna, Vasudeva worshipped His son as Lord Vishnu. Yasoda, however, pleased her son Krishna without understanding His Godhood. This is the difference between Krishna as the son of Yasoda and as the son of Devaki. This is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on the authority of Hari Vamsa. So, Krishna appeared as Vishnu in the cell of Kamsa, but He appeared as Krishna to Mother Yasoda. Mother Yasoda, see if I can get this right again. Mother Yasoda had gave birth to Krishna and to Subhadra, and Vasudeva went there And he placed help me out on this.
Placed Krishna.
He placed Krishna
next to Mother Yashoda, and took Subhadra, took Yogamaya back to the salt cups.
Yeah.
And that Krishna merged with the Krishna that Mother Yashoda had already given birth to.
Say it again.
He placed the Krishna that he brought there with Mother Yashoda, and then took.
But Krishna had already been born to Mother Yashoda.
Right. So when he placed the Krishna that he brought, they were one all of a sudden.
They were born to emerged.
They were emerged as one Krishna. And
yeah.
He took Yogamaya back.
She was exhausted from the...
She was sleeping.
Childbirth and
childbirth
didn't know what was
she
wanted to...
But
the important thing which isn't told in superficial accounts is that Mother Yashoda actually gave birth to Krishna, so that he's not just her foster child, as Prabhupada sometimes goes along with that standard Hindu telling that Krishna was born only to Devaki and Vasudeva, and not to Mother Yashoda, but he was born to. Mother Yashoda is not just the foster mother and father, but they're actual children. So, but there was a merging, and many people don't know that now. They don't accept that, but it's accepted by Vishwanath Chakravarti, and there's a number of places in Prabhupada's books where he acknowledges that too.
Well, it's taken me 35 years, but I finally stopped being a Hindu then. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Is this in Krishna book? Or where is
mentioned,
it?
Prabhupada mentions it.
Right.
A number of asterisks where it's been, where it's said.
Yeah, I didn't know either. I always thought that, the Krishna who was born to Devaki was substituted for Yogamaya.
I couldn't figure out then how they would be sisters, because they were sisters. I mean, and brother, siblings. Yogamaya and Krishna.
She had twins.
Right.
She had twins. Yashoda actually had Krishna.
Merged. And then took.
Right.
So there was a simultaneous expansion of Krishna.
Right. And then when Vasudeva brought him, then merged.
Mother Yashoda had twins, Krishna and Subhadra. Yeah.
Huh. That's according to Vishwanath?
Vishwanath Chakravarti, yeah.
But it's not in the text, or how do you know that? I mean, is that?
It's in the text.
And Prabhupada accepts it too.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah, he mentioned it several times.
I remember reading it too and going, whoa.
Yeah, you have to be alert for it, but
well,
mentioned
no, I'm sure it. Was tired.
Wow. Oh, it's nice not to be a Hindu anymore. Born again.
Well, there are Hindus who know it too, but there are some who just... I'm not one to mock the...
Not the Hindus.
Make fun of the Hindus. But it's like... it's esoteric.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowledge.
Right.
Is there a specific teaching that's illustrated of that merging? What is that, the teaching behind that? I mean, is there some...
Well, the teaching behind it is that Krishna is actually the son of Yashoda and Nanda.
But he didn't disappoint Devaki either.
No.
Because it was predicted from previous... We were just talking about this from her previous birth. Hari Das, help me. Was it?
Krishna Garbhas.
Yeah. So he was satisfying her Vatsalya.
And he was also predicted to be the son of Yashoda and Nanda.
So he had a busy night.
But not for him.
Not for him.
prediction.
Yes.
Another teaching may be that Vishnu, the Vishnu Tattva is part of Krishna. Krishna is avatar, is the origin of all manifestations of the world. So when they got together, Vishnu was like absorbed by Krishna, who includes all the different manifestations.
Which we didn't understand the definition of plenary. Kaylee and I looked it up the other day, means complete. So he's both complete and never not complete.
Well, what are you saying about Vishnu?
Yeah, Mataji was asking what's the teaching behind this merging. And another teaching may be that Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, includes all the different manifestations of Krishna, including Vishnu.
Oh.
Vishnu is part of Krishna.
Yeah.
That may be another teaching.
As opposed to what some say that actually Vishnu is the original. But this illustrates that actually Vishnu is actually in Krishna.
This is the most pleasing news, because Krishna, to know that Krishna is the son of then when Krishna goes to Mathura, he goes back to his real mother and father, and they're brokenhearted in Vrindavan, and then he has to, they take him there, then they have to go back. Mm. And there's there's some esoteric book where Krishna talks with Nanda, and he says, aren't I your real father? Aren't you coming back to Vrindavan? And he says, yes, I'm your real son, but I have to stay here, satisfy my parents. I'll come back. But it upsets so much rasa if they're not the real parents, and they're just the foster parents. By the influence of yoga maya, all the doorkeepers fell fast asleep. Their senses unable to work. I'm glad so much is being churned up by a simple reading. And the other inhabitants of the house also fell deeply asleep. When the sun rises, the darkness automatically disappears. Similarly, when Vasudeva appeared, the doors closed. The closed doors, which were strongly pinned with iron and locked with iron chains, opened automatically. Since the clouds in the sky were mildly thundering and showering, Ananta Naga, an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, followed Vasudeva, beginning from the door with hoods expanded to protect Vasudeva and the Transcendental Child. Purport, Sheshanaga is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose business is to serve the Lord with all necessary paraphernalia. So he became like an umbrella because it was raining. Often nights it's raining on Janmashtami. So the Yamuna was filled with deep water, foaming fiercely, but he allowed him to cross over. Gave way to Vasudeva and allowed him to cross. When Vasudeva reached the house of Nanda Maharaj, he saw that all the cowherd men were fast asleep. Thus he placed his own son in the bed of Yasoda, picked up her daughter, an expansion of Yogamaya, then returned to his residence, the prison house of Kamsa. Vasudeva knew very well that as soon as the daughter was in the prison house of Kamsa, Kamsa would immediately kill her. But to protect his own child, he had to kill the child of his friend. Nanda Maharaj was his friend, but out of deep affection and attachment for his own son, he knowingly did this. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti says that one cannot be blamed for protecting one's own child at the sacrifice of another's. Furthermore, Vasudeva cannot be accused of callousness since his actions were impelled by the force of Yogamaya. No mention of another Krishna there.
Alright, it sounds like this is more answer to Nandapatni's question too, because if Vasudeva was willing to do that, sacrifice his friend's child, it's like this is the extent that the devotee will go. If he loves Krishna, he'll do anything. He'll sacrifice anything.
Yeah.
And it seems like this is Krishna's just orchestrating everything here to intensify so many rasas.
Yeah.
And he's the real father and the mother of everybody, but everybody's in these moods and they're all being increased. They're all being enhanced. It's amazing.
And he's got to be to give up Krishna, his child, to protect him. Even still, this you just had Krishna as your baby, and you have to give him to protect him. You have to give him to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda.
Yeah,
it's a terrible sacrifice. Just carrying him across the Jamuna and having those few minutes, even hours with him,
yeah,
knowing that at the end he has to place him there. Out of love to protect him.
He almost dropped him.
In the Yamuna, yeah.
More on that?
Yeah, there's rough water.
Yeah.
They said he dropped him and because Yamuna wanted to play with him for a while. Exhausted by the labor of childbirth, Yasoda was overwhelmed with sleep and unable to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva were intimate friends, and so were their wives, Yasoda and Devaki. Although their names were different, they were practically non-different personalities. The only difference is that Devaki was able to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had been born to her and had now changed into Krishna, whereas Yasoda was not able to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Yasoda was such an advanced devotee that she never regarded Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but simply loved him as her own child. Devaki, however, knew from the beginning that although Krishna was her son, he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan, no one regarded Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When something very wonderful happened because of Krishna's activities, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the cowherd men, the cowherd boys, Nanda Maharaj, Yasoda, and the others, were surprised, but they never considered their son Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes they suggested that some great demigod had appeared there as Krishna. In such an exalted status of devotional service, a devotee forgets the position of Krishna and intensely loves the Supreme Personality of Godhead without understanding his position. This is called Kevala Bhakti and is distinct from the stages of Jnana and Jnanamayi Bhakti. That's in the Bhaktivedanta Purports of the 10th Canto, 3rd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna. Next is the atrocities of King Kamsa. So that's a contribution to Krishna Katha.
Sure.
Now, you want to have more kirtan or?
I have a question.
More katha. Yeah.
My question is, if someone thinks of Krishna very respectfully, in a very exalted way, but doesn't think he's the ultimate truth, but respects him, is that offensive or is that making progress?
Because thinks of him as a demigod?
Yeah, like a demigod or some.
Oh, that's offensive. What is the second offense in the chanting of the holy name?
To consider the name of the demigod as equal to or independent.
Krishna.
Yeah.
That's like, and the name is Krishna. So to think of Krishna is equal to or independent of the demigods is an offense. So, great respect for Shiva and for Krishna, for all the demigods. It's an offense. Sure, it's better than saying all these nonsense Hindu gods. They're just all mythology or something, but to say, I believe in these gods, and among them Krishna, is a very real god. And I pray to them or something. Among them, Krishna is the god of love, he plays the flute. But the scriptures say it's offensive to consider him as one of the demigods, equal to the others.
Maybe I'm trying to ask the question in the right way. That's probably not the question.
What's the real question?
Do we think of Krishna other than the ultimate God? Would that be offensive?
I think Maharaj just answered that.
No. I don't know.
Well,
like, not a demigod exactly, kind of like just not the ultimate God.
Not the ultimate truth. Like there's more, there may be more to tell. That was 5,000 years ago, and now we're constantly, there's more, always more being revealed.
It's a new age.
The new generation with the whole new explanation.
Then you get into respect for all worship and all God. God in all his appearances and having respect for all worshippers. We like to quote Bhaktivinoda Thakur's great ecumenical spirit for other worshippers in this. What is that one quote by him? Here I stand.
To paraphrase, here I am in your place of worship, seeing my Lord adored by you in your way, makes me appreciate my Lord. In other words, you wrote it at the beginning of Entering Life of Prayer. Maybe I could just find one. Does anyone know where that is? That book? Because it's right at the beginning of that.
It's a quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Where he says, when I see my Lord appreciated and worshipped in other places of worship, it makes me even more attached to my...
To my God.
And to see how they are loving you in their way, in their place, in their style, is an enhancement of my love and appreciation for you. How wondrous that you reveal yourself to them as they love and need.
So to have a great appreciation for people worshipping Jesus or worshipping God in other forms can be done in Krishna consciousness, but ultimately we see Krishna as this supreme truth, because he is Bhagavan. He has all the qualities complete, even more so than in other forms of God. So we've become Vaishnavas We're not eclectics. We're not Christians. Other people may be, and we respect them. But we've not become eclectics by choice.
What about the idea of a constant update from God? I mean, Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago and he spoke Gita, but so much has happened and we need some updates. And we have these updates and they're coming all the time. So why are you limiting Krishna that you can't let him keep updating us?
Updates are done by people who are writing new commentaries and writing new books in Krishna consciousness. Looking at Krishna in new ways, with old wine in new bottles. I'm updating Krishna in my books.
Thank you very much.
And
there's this tension, huh? That he's static. You know, the orthodoxy of a religion may want to keep Krishna static, but Krishna is not static. He's constantly fresh. What is it?
He's always new.
Always new. So he's always refusing to be held static, so then there's the tension with innovation.
Yeah. But you have to be very careful to pronounce a new Krishna, discover a new religion of that goes beyond Krishna, that goes beyond the Bhagavad Gita, to scratch out a line and put in a new one.
I was very interested in what Agari Prabhu was saying. Is it that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, when I see how you, Krishna, are being worshipped in so many ways, in so many houses of worship, it makes me love the way you have revealed yourself to me? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, I wish I could put my hands on the volume where it's over
their house.
It's at their house. It's at your house. You could look later. But yeah, the feeling, and I think you'll see when you look, is that he is struck and feels his love for Krishna. He doesn't even use the name Krishna, he uses God, enhanced by seeing how uniquely, and the way I was hearing it and feeling it culturally, that how God was revealed in their house of worship, in their place of worship, to them. And it was like he was saying this, oh, my God, here you are in this place, being worshipped by these people in such a loving and adoring way. Oh, it makes me so happy to see that they are loving you. And my love for you is increased by how they are loving you. Not that he was giving the motive, I need to convert them and impose my perception of how you should be worshipped and adored, but rather, I am enhanced. My love and affection is enhanced just by their natural appreciation and genuine love. That's how I experience what he was saying.
So he was actually appreciating their worship.
Very much.
Not that it just made him grateful that he had so much more. That wasn't the move. Okay.
There is a statement we read in Chaitanya Bhagavat that there are many ways to worship Krishna as there are spirit soul.
Brihat Bhagavatamrita.
Oh yeah, that's what it was.
That's good news.
that would allow for a certain amount of updating.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're always
right. Because relationship is so much a part of
Krishna, like Prabhupada, just came and, you know, put a new face on Krishna, you know, by giving Krishna to all of us, and, you know, so we see Krishna the way we see Krishna and communicate that to each other and our families, and then, you know, go back and through, I think, cultivating our relationship with Krishna, we're part of the dynamic that is who Krishna is, because we're part of Krishna. So it seems like that has to be allowable. It's so easy for us to think of a person as a stagnant thing. You know, if I love a person or I trust a person, that's a thing that happened, rather than it being a dynamic, moving, relational process.
So, in relation to what you're saying, Haridas Prabhu and I were having a conversation today, and we were, and I'm going to say something about it that we didn't say. It's a further reflection that ties into what you're saying, and that is that perhaps there's a little, I have a little shyness or insecurity about Meister Eckhart's instruction that if I'm experiencing tasting some presence of Krishna, personally Krishna, within my life, within my experience, I might be hesitant to share or to discuss or to reveal to someone that, of course there's this cat and mouse from the shadows going on, I think perhaps because Srila Prabhupada's teaching so carefully and strictly against inauthenticity and sahajism, that, you know, we've imbibed a very, I think, realistic cautionary stance to not, you know, roll in the mud and throw stuff around and have a...
He was a mystic, and so says, you know, the real experience of religion has to be experienced, not just... Read out loud in the synagogue or something, or ringing the bell. It counts by actual experience, and that's the life of the mystic.
Yes, but maybe actually we are having our relationship with Krishna, and out of being cautious, we hold back a little bit from discussing such personal things with each other. But we were. We kind of like, tenuously, I think, sought each other out naturally in the moment, and we were going there, you know, because it seems also the blessing of association, that it allows devotees to take that risk and say, well, actually, you know, he took the risk. He said, so...
I can't do it.
So, you know, I'm not going to ask if you believe in Krishna. this is an inside joke. We have a joke we could tell Suresh for about this. But he asked me, so... But, all right, accepting that you believe in Krishna, you know... how are you experiencing your belief in Krishna? Well, how that's how I understood the question. And so then we went for quite a long time talking back and forth.
Helpful to hear that from people. It's a real faith builder to hear how other people are experiencing their Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
And you were kind and told me.
And then you read to me what you wrote.
Is there some greeting that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had where he asked something like that question,
that sounds like updates.
Are you getting any updates?
I just wanted to make one little last thing. I like it how Krishna sends his sister to deal with punks.
She was angry.
And she was no pushover. Let me just say, she was fully qualified and prepared to go and deal with Kansa. And he was not happy.
He's not gentle of speech.
The story is so it's so exciting at that point when she raises herself. Can you, you're so much better with the Leela. If you would just sort of give some maybe little description of how that happened. And didn't he try to three times?
Try to smash her on the rocks.
Yeah, as a little baby. But suddenly she slipped out of his hand and flew up in the sky above her. Armed with swords and other weapons, and said, "You rascal, you tried to kill me, but
the child you are
seeking is already born."
It's too late.
Then he became Krishna conscious at that moment. He was always thinking of Krishna.
Yeah.
Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Will kill me. When will he come? What can I do to prevent it?
And is it just me, or is there? I feel like a craving to know more about Subhadra's life, and yet it seems always to not quite be available. And I wonder if that's. We have certain books that are now coming out because of the mercy of the devotees. They bring out other books that give us these windows that we didn't have previously. And I'm curious to know more about Subhadra and what must their relationship, Krishna and Subhadra's relationship, have been like.
Well, she marries Arjuna.
She marries Arjuna.
Yeah.
But we have a real sense for Krishna and Balaram. You know, there's so much. It's so rich how they play. But we have less about how Krishna and Subhadra were close. I would like to know that. Yeah, he married his best friend. She married his best friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Balaram didn't like it.
Oh, really?
Right?
I'm forgetting. I don't know. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Arjuna appeared as a beggar, as a sannyasi.
Oh.
And, And right away, they had eyes for each other. Subhadra was serving the sannyasi, and he was looking at her, and she was looking at him. They fell in love. So then Krishna liked the idea of the marriage, but Balaram didn't at all. So he kidnapped her, and Balaram was furious, and he wanted to go and stop it and kill Arjuna or something. But Krishna fell at his feet and asked his elder brother to please allow the marriage to take place. Right? So that's how that marriage took place. The sannyasi with big arms and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. The bone.
Yes?
I would like to go back to the heart, how Krishna appears in the heart.
Yeah.
You put it with a card. And I very much like this image, also because maybe some experience tells me that this is possible, that Krishna may appear and do his work as he's supposed to do when he appears in my life. But I also always like to hear again and again how Krishna appeared first in the heart of Vasudeva.
Yeah.
And then from his heart was transferred to the heart of Devaki.
Yes.
And then he was born from Devaki. And I like very much this description of the mechanics of this essence, and not just by biological, and of course.
Yes.
And I was considering that this is also for the preaching process, that if Krishna appears in our heart, then it is possible that from our heart, Krishna may be transferred into someone else's heart.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this is not possible. Krishna cannot appear in someone's heart unless it is transferred from someone's heart.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's the same in Chaitanya Lila. He appeared in the heart of Jagannath Mishra and then in the heart of Mother Sachi.
I'm pretty sure there's a purport just on this point. Unless one is harrying the Supreme Personality of God in his heart, he cannot deliver. Isn't there?
Yeah, it's mentioned there about how the spiritual master injects within the heart of the disciple the same way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Vasudeva. Right. Probably give that as an example. How Vasudeva gave the key to transference.
Yeah. That's
interesting. And they said too that in the Krishna book the real Dham is in the heart.
The real
Dham. Holy. So Krishna couldn't appear within the heart without the Dham being there. So Prabhupada mentioned that's the real.
You have to make your heart a nice place for Krishna to come and appear. He won't come and appear in a filthy place.
The Gundicha temple pastime. Making it ready.
Yeah.
And also, I guess Balaram, he appears first.
Which is the Dham.
Sankarshan appears before Krishna.
Aha, uh-huh, interesting.
To prepare the environment for Krishna's appearance.
Yeah.
Upon which all else rests.
More kirtan?
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.